Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever and whenever you happen to be tuning in on this great wide world connected by the internet. The last three guys to do a podcast are back. Sorry if we've been off for a couple of weeks. We had some technical issues 2 weeks ago. Last week I was feeling under the weather, but now we are back and all three of us are here in our studios, better known as Leon Brown's Kitchen, as we get back to discussing the wide world of sports. John Morgo again, Leon Brown, and Daniel Bolton. Glad you can join us here today. Sam Crenshaw will be calling in, talk about the NBA draft in a matter of moments, and I guess with everything that's been going on in the last 3 weeks since we last spoke to one another, the NBA draft is probably the biggest thing that has happened. I honestly could not imagine a more crazy time with all the trades being put out, all the trades being concluded. People were wearing hats that were not the teams that they were going to. It was just mass hysteria going down. And, guys, it's like we're loving every minute of it.
Yeah, I think that's the drama of it all, especially the start of the offseason. I've always said that the NBA has the best offseason ever because it's so much drama. Who's going to go here? Who's going to go where? Who's going to do this and who's going to do that? And the NBA draft really just topped it off.
I was kind of like lightweight disappointed a little bit, just a little bit, because the young man who was the focal point of the Oregon Ducks team, Bo, we're talking about 7'2", skill set of a two guard, mm-hmm. was picked like 44th in the draft.
Well, there was a lot of questions about his work ethic and mentality, and that caused his stock to just plummet.
And he had that foot issue too. He only played 9 games last year. And that really plummeted his draft stock. But I understand what you're saying, Leon. But I think that red flags kind of rose up on Bobo.
Yeah, I believe he's going to have based on his skill set alone. Anytime you're a great shooter mm-hmm. and you're 7'2" and have a handle, oh, man, that's imagine if he, you know, provided he puts some weight on. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's worth for Kevin Durant. But, imagine you take a player like that who can post up and bring a big man out whose footwork is not really up to par, mm-hmm. and he could just go to work. You could just run the offense through him. And though he was only drafted 44, he played 9 games last year, I look for Bobo to have a huge summer league.
You know, there were two draft picks, Leon and John, that kind of puzzled me a little bit. They didn't puzzle me. I'm glad that they were as high as they were. And that's the Bulls pick and the Wizards pick. The Bulls picked at number 7, Kobe White out of North Carolina. I was not expecting him in the top 10. He deserves to be in the top 10, but I was not expecting him. And one guy who I actually liked at the beginning of the year, Rui Hachimura out of Gonzaga. I thought that he's a big-time player, and the Wizards picked him up as well. So I thought that was a bit of a surprise for the Wizards to reach up and get him at 9.
And I want to talk about the Lakers. I know Leon's going to want to talk about this too, again, with the whole draft of DeAndre Hopkins and then send him immediately to Atlanta. But there was something I wanted to do when last we talked 3 weeks ago. I didn't get to do it. Now I'm going to. Because when you talk about the Lakers and all the drama that's been going on in their front office, how has their draft been able to rectify this, or is it just going to be this continuing drama that we're going to have throughout the summer months?
Well, we got to look at, like, first of all, the reason why NBA free agents are trying to come to the Lakers is not because of the front office. It's because that man that you have on the floor called LeBron James. You know, unfortunately, we have the cloud that is Rob Pelinka and him being exposed as, you know, as the person that you're describing in the song that we're playing that we got going on right now to Matt Johnson. As well as someone who told, I mean, this man, his ability to lie is beyond, I mean, belief. I mean, that story that he told The Rock with a straight face about Kobe wanting to sit down with Heath Ledger and understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that right there, you know, I'm talking about despite all of that, players are attracted to come to Los Angeles because we have that man called LeBron James. And then we have the future that is Anthony Davis. This right here, I look at this as being, and I hope, and I'm hoping it will have the same impact as the largest trade to happen since the 2008 Celtics traded for Ray Allen and Kevin Garnett. Kevin Garnett.
Right.
You know, this time it happens on my team and not to my team. Because they happened to us in 2008. They took it to us, you know. But I look at this trade, you know, and we still, you know, as the Lakers, they still have a lot of cap room left. And some people are saying, like, hey, we should actually reacquire D'Angelo Russell. And I'm like, I like the idea. I like the idea. But I'm thinking we could maybe just put a lot of good, solid pieces around AD and LeBron. You know, preferably shooters.
I mean, you don't think that a third superstar is needed?
I mean, it could work. I mean, with AD and LeBron, anything is possible.
Right.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
But just to get, like, some quality shooting, you know, around those two. Like, you know, if we have if Rajon Rondo can stay healthy, maybe we bring him back. Maybe we go across the hall, literally, and get Patrick Beverley, a defensive-minded dog of a point guard.
Right.
Maybe we could go we could go up the 5 freeway to Portland and holler at the little Curry and bring him down for some shooting. Or maybe we could go off into the pockets because this young man right here is reportedly, you know, he might be available during free agency. And let's go get Bradley Beal from the Washington Wizards.
Yeah, I've heard his name come up a lot between him and the Lakers.
Absolutely. And I understand we still have Kyle Kuzma, you know, who is approaching his third year. And he averaged 18 points a game last year. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Either I like him to stay or I like him to be dangled out there as a trade piece.
Let me ask you something. Was there a winner or a loser in that New Orleans-L.A. trade?
No, it wasn't. I don't think so. I mean, you know.
They both won.
Yeah, we both won.
I thought so, too.
Yeah.
And I think the Hawks won, too.
Yeah.
Getting Hopkins at 4 and Cam Reddish at 10.
I thought the Hawks won the whole draft. That night, simply because of that.
Yeah, yes. it's like the poker chips are all on the table, and Hawks management is pretty much reached out with both hands and just took all the good chips.
Yeah, because I don't think anybody saw that the Hawks were going to trade up to get DeAndre Hunter. I don't think anybody saw that coming.
No.
Then for you to have picks 5 through 9 go through and nobody touches Cam Reddish, and I mean, there were some good guys picked in between Darius Garland, Jared Culver, Kobe White, Jackson Hayes, Rui Hachimura. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, that's right.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, Leon's putting up a little
note. The Hawks have the best future, right?
NBA draft transformed the Atlanta Hawks to Eastern Conference's brightest future, which is crazy.
And also, their starting five is set, and it's all under what, 23?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
And that's what you want. I mean, you got guys under the age of 23 that all they want to do is run. That's it, and I think that's what Trae Young needed to actually advance his skills a little bit more. You know, he's an arsenal 3-point shooter, but man, he's got wings. He's got guys out there on the wing now. He's got Cam Reddish who can shoot the ball and put it on the floor and create his own shot. And then going to the rack with John Collins and DeAndre Hunter. Oh my goodness, man, this is gonna be crazy.
So this is the question: if you're the Hawks, and you got summer league coming up, how many games do you allow these young men to play during summer league?
Enough to see what they have and enough to get their legs flowing and their body right and just enough to get them in shape. I wouldn't overextend them. I wouldn't overplay them. Like Zion Williamson over in New Orleans, I guarantee you they're not going to overplay him.
No, they might play him just one game.
They might play him one game just so that everybody can see the star power and everybody can come out and they can do whatever they need to do. But
Get the whole right. media circus going.
Exactly.
Put, you know, get First Take going on there. You know, just make it a circus.
I wouldn't do that with really the top 15.
Yeah.
I think the summer league is going to be real big for Bobo.
He's going to need that to really prove himself.
Right. And that's if he's completely healed of that foot injury he had, too.
Yeah, because that thing really stuck.
So, another pick that I saw, I thought was a bit intriguing, and it got traded to the Boston Celtics when the 76ers drafted Carson Edwards, number 33. And if you guys recall, Carson Edwards from Purdue, he was the one that was lighting it up in the NCAA tournament from outside. So
right.
Boston gets a guy who can get out there and shoot that three-point ball. So very good compliment to that team and to what Rozier and Tatum and all those guys would bring to the table. And besides, they're lacking at that point guard position. Who knows if Kyrie Irving will be back next year in a Boston Celtics uniform.
Word is he has not spoken to the Celtics almost 3 weeks.
I don't think he wants to. That's just my opinion.
Well, I'm looking over the first round. Celtics definitely took some flyers. I mean, you got Romeo Langford at 14.
Yeah.
Grant Williams at 20.
At 20, yeah, that was a big time.
Not Grant Williams. 22, I'm sorry.
22, yeah, yeah.
That was a big – I mean, I'm not – it's my Vanderbilt thing is showing, but, you know, Grant Williams,
mm-hmm.
he's benefited by a lot of, shall we say, knowledge of the rule book of what he can get away with.
yeah.
But Boston just tried to go big, and looks like we'll see what they can do. But again, Boston's big problem, you know, they gotta figure out what to do with Kyrie Irving. I mean, they gotta figure that out.
I don't think there's no figuring out. I think he's on his way out.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a relationship issue
within
the organization.
Yeah,
they just didn't mesh together.
Yeah, their offense, if we looked at last year, it lacked cohesion.
Mm-hmm. Right, and you can tell, yeah. It was something going on within that locker room, and of course he did apologize to his teammates. What I believe it might have been like in March or so,
yeah,
and I think it might have been a little too late for him to do that.
You can't unring a bell.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
That was a heck of a ringing, for lack of a better term. You know, but you know, he's going to his offseason stock has really dropped, you know, since the Kevin Durant injury.
Yeah.
Because that was the, you know, it was supposed to be, you know, in the grand scheme, it's going to be like Kevin Durant.
Right.
Kyrie Irving.
Yep.
And possibly AD.
Yeah.
In New York.
Yeah.
Then, you know, it happened in the NBA Finals with KD, who a lot of people speculate that Golden State may have, in so many words, forced him out there. That it may have been an Achilles the whole time. Some people may say, well, you know, it was the calf. I'm like, no, the way he was bouncing off the floor during game four and shooting, his calf was injured.
Well, I think it was. But because what you have to look at is the calf muscle in general is kind of sort of attached to the Achilles. And when you strain that muscle, you have to give that muscle time to heal. They did not. They went into complete panic mode when they were down 3-1 and said, you know what, we got to bring this guy back or else we're going to lose this thing. But they were down too far much. Toronto, without you weren't going to win the NBA championship, Golden State, without your best two players. And I say that. And I say that in all confidence because Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant are the two best players on that team.
And Klay Thompson.
Steph Curry is the best shooter we've ever seen.
Right.
But he's not the best player on that team.
Okay.
Because Klay Thompson can play both sides of the ball.
Excellent way of putting it.
Yes.
Because Steph Curry is a defensive liability.
Yes.
Be honest.
Let's be honest there. He was getting murdered by Van Fleet.
We never heard of Van Fleet like this.
Until the NBA Finals, man.
Because
Van Fleet, he didn't have a good Eastern Conference Finals.
No.
I had people saying he needs to step it up, and he did.
That man had Steph Curry on him and was cooking him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And people were talking about how Fred Van Fleet never got drafted, didn't get a D1
offer.
And here he is, you know, getting a parade down by the CN Tower. By the way, Toronto, my joke was they're going to throw the world's cleanest victory parade.
And then guess what? They said a couple of people end up getting shot at the parade.
Yes.
Oh, goodness.
Yes.
Oh, the six went crazy, man.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't even know they had guns in Canada.
I didn't That's either.
Crazy. No, I didn't.
I seen bowling. What was that? Bowling for Columbine and Michael Moore.
Moore's
polemic. He went up there and said people sleep with their doors unlocked up there. He was just walking in people's homes.
It's one of the safest places to live, man.
Right? Yeah, yeah. Like literally Michael Moore is walking in people's houses on camera.
Yeah.
Like, for real. But, you know, it's interesting. You know, Fred Van Fleet, speaking of the defensive liability that is Steph Curry, you know Fred Van Fleet actually got an MVP consideration?
Well,
I wouldn't be surprised with that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he averaged about, 14, 15 a game in the finals. including 22 in the final game, in game six. So, that was just an all-around performance, and they really didn't need Kawhi Leonard, especially in that final game. I mean, he was needed, and he torched them, but
right.
Kyle Lowry stepped up. He allowed for Pascal Siakam, who we're going to talk about in a few minutes, allowed him to step up.
Marc Gasol,
congratulations to him. Him and his brother are the first brothers to win NBA championships in league history. That's crazy. Right. Lowry, who people have been – 9 years of heartbreak and LeBron James beating you. So that's all it was. It was LeBron James beating you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I guess the ESPN cafeteria wasn't selling chicken curry
last week.
No. So now that Toronto is the world champion, now Toronto's got the bullseye on their back. And I guess it all goes down to Kawhi Leonard. You know, now we get this soap opera again.
Go ahead. They could lose both Kawhi Leonard and their general manager over summertime.
Yeah, they could.
The Masai Ujiri is receiving the offer of a lifetime.
From the Wizards.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And Kawhi Leonard still has that $13 million house in San Diego that I'm pretty sure he wants to move into and be comfortable in, which is around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Poway or the Poway area is probably like the same distance as, let's say, driving from Sugarloaf to downtown.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Potentially.
Okay.
I think I know where Poway is.
Poway is like north, for anybody who's familiar with the San Diego area, that is, if you have downtown Atlanta, Poway is maybe, we could approximate that to Sugarloaf.
Okay.
Well, you can't be south of San Diego is Mexico, so you gotta be.
Yeah, you
that's
gotta
it.
Go.
It's only
yeah.
North is the only place to go. It's only somewhere to go but up.
Exactly. Yeah.
But in proximity to downtown San Diego to Poway is like North Gwinnett.
If you want my honest opinion on what I think, if I'm Kawhi Leonard, nobody in the history of the NBA, maybe with the exception of Jordan, maybe. Has had an entire country behind him. Not a city, not a province, a country.
Yes.
All of Canada is behind Kawhi Leonard right now. If I'm Kawhi Leonard, I have a good thing going here. I have a great coach in Nick Nurse, because Nick Nurse can coach.
Right.
Okay. There were some games he got out coached. But all in all, this guy can coach. He's got a great coaching pedigree. Okay. For him to take a superstar, and I don't consider Kyle Lowry a superstar, I consider him a star. In the league, but they only had one superstar on that team, and they had a bunch of people rallying around him.
They won the right way.
As a team.
Yeah, as a team. And they did an outstanding job. Man, if I'm Kawhi Leonard, and we know what's in Kawhi Leonard's mind, he will not go to the Lakers, he will not go to the Knicks, because those two teams are going to have two max players. We know that, right? He does not want to go to a team where he is not potentially a focal point. He wants to be the focal point. You're already the focal point in Toronto. You're the focal point of Canada. The Maple Leafs and the Vancouver Canucks and all of the hockey teams are up there. Kawhi Leonard is one and Drake is two.
I got one for you. What if Milwaukee becomes the new Toronto and Toronto becomes the new Cleveland?
If Kawhi leaves,
well, if Kawhi stays,
then Toronto becomes the beast, right?
They become the new Cleveland.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I get you.
And Milwaukee becomes the new.
So Milwaukee Toronto. Becomes the doormat to.
Oh man,
Milwaukee becomes the team that can't get in because of Toronto.
Well, they're going to run into a problem too. Brook Lopez is he's a free agent. Yeah, getting old, but he's a free agent. And Middleton just opted out of his final year, so. And those two guys were so important to Giannis Antetokounmpo and his development into an MVP candidate, because they were his wing guys. He could trust them.
So if you're Milwaukee, you're looking at what's going on right now in John's neck of the woods. Al Horford.
Right.
I'm like, okay, Brooke, we understand. We appreciate you and everything like that. We got backdoor sweat, but you on the team anyway. So, you know, that's a horrible sleeping. You know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, that's, you know, let's be honest with you. Would you rather just get beat 4-0 or be up 2-0 and lose four in a row?
Oh, man.
That's disgusting. That's the type of stuff that gets you coach fired.
Because at least you know if you lose 4-0, you knew that you really had no chance.
You're at peace with it.
Like Portland. Portland didn't have a shot in all outdoors of beating Golden State. But you know what, though? They fought hard those last two games in Portland.
And they should have had a shot, though, because it's like, shoot, that right there made – man, that's a lot. I have a lot of emotions going through my head right now.
Well, that stat from that series, that Portland was ahead aggregately more than Golden State was in that series.
Yeah.
But still got swept.
Excellent point.
Right.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, that's a bad way to get swept, too.
Yeah.
The fact that every single game they came back on you.
Yes.
It's like they had the carrot in front of your face, and right when you was about to snatch a yank.
Exactly.
It's like they had Luke Jackson in the bullpen.
It's like you snatch defeat out of the jaws of victory.
Out of jaws of victory.
Mm-hmm.
Every game. That's horrible. So, you know, this kind of leads me to the next point. I know this is a bit fun fact.
Mm-hmm.
But which team do you think got it the worst in the playoffs? We have contestant number one, OKC.
Mm-hmm.
Who, I guess the series went 5 games. You have all these expectations of Russell Westbrook and Paul George.
Okay.
And you get sent home. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you know, second year in a row, you know,
third year in a row,
yeah, disgusting. Or you have Houston.
I got to go with Houston on this.
Mm-hmm.
Not only do you lose, but your team gets blown up in the process.
Man, somebody got to take the blame.
Right.
Someone take the blame.
And
it's Chris Paul.
And Chris Paul and James Harden are too busy pushing each other under the bus.
Exactly.
Yeah. Somebody's taking the blame. It's like,
I agree with
James
that,
Harden's man. Like, I'm not going to take the blame. Yeah. You're going to take the blame.
And Chris Paul's like, but James, that's your silhouette right there for when the microwave exploded. James is like, oh, that's something.
You were the one that caused Clutch to shoot the balls all over in the house.
Exactly. But the t-shirt cannon. You ruined my house, James.
Or
thankfully, I've got Oscar from The Office here with me, but, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, that's how disgusting. I mean, they could be a punchline. Houston could be. Or you have Portland, who, despite the fact that Kevin Durant did not play in the series, you get swept anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty – you got C.J. McCollum.
Yeah.
Match him up perfectly with – I mean, that's a very evenly matched series. You know
right.
You got C.J. versus Clay. You got Steph versus – Dame Lillard, Dame Dollar.
Yeah.
So that was where's the excuses at on that one? You had no KD because KD was the nuclear weapon, the shadow looming over the whole series, and he wasn't there.
Okay.
And you still get swept.
Okay.
So it's like, ooh, are we good enough?
You have another team?
Yes.
What's the other team?
Or
because I'm about to break this down. Go ahead.
Or we got the one we just brought up, how they come to New Toronto. You were up 2-0 on Toronto. Up 2-0 on Toronto, and pretty much they figure something out about you.
Yes, they make the adjustments.
And your coach could not adjust to the adjustments they made. I mean, this is the chess match. Someone's playing checkers, mm-hmm. other person's playing chess, and you get swept. I mean, that's pretty much that was the sweeping. I mean,
yeah.
Yep. That should not have happened. No. 4 in a row? No.
You should at least
get it to 7.
With no injury. Because I say that's what prevented Golden State from being the laughing stock of the playoffs, because Golden State at least had injuries.
They
didn't get swept. Not really. They didn't get swept, but, you know, they had injuries, bad injuries. There was no injuries on Milwaukee.
No, it wasn't. All right. So
is it just a matter of choking when the limelight's on you? You're just not used to it?
So do y'all want me to break down Milwaukee first?
Break it down.
Let's go.
Break it down.
Okay, Milwaukee got exposed. All right, that's simple as it gets.
Butt naked.
They got it. Yeah. Yep. They got exposed. Here's why. At some point, and the team that actually exposed them was Boston.
You know
but
what?
But Boston couldn't.
They couldn't
the
close the deal.
Done. They couldn't close the deal because they had too much crap going on.
Exposed. Another word for embarrassed.
Yeah. Exactly. There you go, Leon.
Embarrassed.
Listen. Anytime Giannis goes to the hole and to the rack, and now you got 4 people engaging on him, now you're forcing him to pass it out. Once they got into the East Final, Kawhi Leonard was on him. He couldn't do anything with Kawhi Leonard. And that's when you needed your role players to step up, and their role players simply didn't get the job done. Middleton did not get the job done like he was supposed to in games 3, 4, 5, and 6. He was awful. He was great in 1 and 2, but he was awful in 3, 4, 5, and 6. Actually, he was not good in 4, 5, and 6. He was pretty good in 3. Who else is on there? Bledsoe?
Yeah.
Bledsoe. Ooh.
Second year in a row.
Where are you at? You yeah. know, when your star player is not doing as well as he's supposed to, and he's getting beaten up and he's getting exposed or whatnot, it's up for your role players to come in and step up, and that's what happened with them.
Take the pressure off.
Milwaukee had a great regular season, but then it came down. But the Boston Celtics exposed them, but the Boston Celtics locker room had imploded. They did the old traditional 1-2-3 Cancun.
Oh,
that's what yes. they did. They were ready to go.
Yeah, they were ready.
Shout out to Charles Barkley on that one. Oklahoma City, and I will keep saying this. Oklahoma City, Russell Westbrook is as good as it gets. But when it comes to playoff time, he's just not that it factor. And ever since they broke that team up with Harden and Durant,
mm-hmm.
it shows. They have never been able to really get to where they needed to go. Remember, they were in the NBA Finals against that Miami Heat team with the big three. But Harden wasn't established yet. But Westbrook and Durant, we kind of knew what they were going to become, but we didn't know what James Harden was going to become.
A big part of that was because of James Harden, though, because whenever Westbrook would get too emotionally out of control with the ball, which he is known to do,
mm-hmm.
i.e. when the chips are on the table, that man will shoot 41 times like he did last year against Utah. The man shot like 45 times, and your point guard, that's like if you're exactly. a quarter, your point guard shouldn't be shooting 45 times.
No.
That means what offense are you running?
The Oklahoma City Thunder has a good enough team to be at least a 3 seed this year. They did. And, again, they couldn't get it done against Portland, right? It was Portland and
not Portland. That Dame Dollar, mm-hmm. He shot the thing for 40 feet.
Right.
In Paul George's face. And then as it was going down, waved bye-bye to him.
Yeah. Oh. I said good night to him.
Oh,
and it was great. And now, which leads me to Portland. Who knocked off Oklahoma City, knocked off the Denver Nuggets, who I thought was a pretty damn good team this year. You know, from them, and we'll get into the awards in a minute because their coach is up for coach of the year. But you said that they were a pretty decent matchup without Kevin Durant against the Warriors. I don't think so. On paper, but in the limelight, in the spotlight, in the Western Conference Finals, no. Those guys did not know how to win even a game in the West Final.
Good point.
Remember, 4 games, they are up in all 4 games, and you get swept.
Yes.
That shows.
Well, it shows that you don't know the old cliche, you don't know how to win.
You don't know how to win, and that was the problem with Portland. This might have been the best thing that could have happened to them.
They
next
need
year.
To have someone experienced, a playoff hand to come
exactly.
in.
Exactly.
You know what kind exactly. of, you know what they remind me of?
Mm-hmm.
Remember, for all the Atlanta Braves fans out there, there was this one player that you guys had a couple mm-hmm. of years ago, maybe in 2012. He was on track to breaking a real serious record, the hit record. He was on. I mean, Dan Uggla.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but yeah, then we got him, and he suddenly said, "Wait a minute, I can't hit anymore."
Right.
It's the pressure.
It was the pressure.
You know, he looked himself in the mirror. It's like, I am just Dan Uggla.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That's all I am.
That's all I am.
I am Dan
freaking Uggla. That's all I am. That's all I am, guys.
You know.
Come on, man. And then he ended up batting like 160 or something like
yes.
that. It was just god awful. Every time I saw him come up to the plate, I said, so is he going to grind out the third again?
No, he mixed it up. He grinded out the short.
Did he grind out the short? Man, just, can you get it over? Get it over. Just put the ball in play and get it over. But the absolute worst thing is the Houston Rockets. I mean, because this team was the number one seed last year. They were up 3-2. And then Golden State, of course, showing the heart of a champion, just did what they had to do. But you seemed like you had the team. The only thing that I can say that may have bit Houston this year, and a lot of people have been saying it, is when you let Trevor Ariza go.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
When you let him go, And P.J. Tucker did an outstanding job this year, man. I mean, he did. But he was not the shooter that Trevor Ariza was.
Right.
When you let him go, that kind of took away that defensive prowess a little bit. But Tucker was a beast on outside in the perimeter or whatnot. But with Houston, just too much drama, man. Just too much between Paul and Harden, and now it's starting to come out, right?
Right.
It's bubbling just unbelievable. Over. It's bubbling over now. And now it's making Houston look very irrelevant next year. After the fact that we don't even know what Golden State is going to be like next year without their two best players.
Yeah, and I, last show, I predicted it to John's amazement. I'm like, really? I'm like, hey,
really?
You know, Golden State is going to be a non-factor next year. Houston will be a non-factor next year, and America's team, my team.
Mm-hmm.
The Lakers.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
The Lakers. I mean, there's nothing to stop us.
You got to get your front office figured out. Should I queue up the backstabbers again? Because I've got that here.
You know, despite all the dumpster fire that is the front office, the lack of experience that is the front office, I believe that, you know, with the team that we will bring out next year, because, I mean, we only have five players on the roster right now. Before August, there it is.
I can't hear it.
Oh, man. I'm not going to lie to you. You know, like a couple days ago, I actually had like a whole 70s jam session in my living room. I'm talking about Cool in the Gang. War. I'm talking about Slipping in the Darkness.
You're trying to get back to the old days.
Man, right? That's like some good music back then. You know, we never really appreciate it till we get older.
Oh, of course.
But when we look at the chaos that is the Lakers, I believe that order will come out of that chaos come October. And we will put on we will have a quality season. I'm hoping that we will have the success, not in the same out. Like, I hope we had the same success as Boston did in 2008 and we'll have the same impact as Miami Heat did during 2011, with the exception, hopefully, we do not lose the finals in the way we did, the way the Heat did in 2011.
Another thing, too, let's see what their core around them.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing.
I don't think Frank Vogel is I didn't think he was the guy that should have been the coach for the Lakers in the first place, but with a guy like LeBron James
and
Anthony Davis on that team, man.
He won with Ty Lue. Ty Lue got two rings. Who was that guy?
Yeah, right.
Ty Lue and Eric Spoelstra would be the only – well, he got a ring. But Eric Spoelstra and Ty Lue will be the only coaches to go to the finals four straight years and still not make the Hall of Fame. Ever.
Do you think the Lakers may need, though, someone to distribute the ball? Do they think they need a point guard?
Yeah, they need a point guard. We still have Rondo on.
No. They need another point guard. I don't think Rondo's gonna be enough. I think Rondo's a serviceable.
Yeah, Patrick player. Beverly.
You get somebody like Beverly,
yeah,
or somebody like that. I like D'Angelo Russell. I really do. I like him to fit in that system.
I like D'Angelo Russell too, but I need a point guard like Derek Fisher. Okay. Derek Fisher's job was to get the ball, dribble past half court without anybody taking it from him,
mm-hmm.
and give the ball to Kobe.
Okay.
And we'll work it out. We'll work the worst out.
Yes.
I need a blue collar guard. Someone who just has a passion for the job. You know, he's not worried about the glitz and the glamour like Derek Fisher.
Mm-hmm.
I need someone who can play defense like Patrick Beverly.
Yeah.
You know, I need someone who can, you know, who's not going to turn the ball over like Patrick Beverly. I feel like Alicia Silverstone from Clueless. You know, when she came to the conclusion about Josh.
Mm-hmm.
I like Josh. I think we need Patrick Beverly.
Okay.
He doesn't cost that much.
No.
See, D'Angelo Russell, he's going to be worried about numbers. You know, he might drop 40 a couple times.
Yeah, because he was an all-star this year.
You know, we don't need that. I like that, though. I do. But we don't need all that. We just need someone to get the ball past half court and pass it to LeBron or pass it to AD, and I'm good.
John Morgo, Leon Brown, Daniel Bolton here in the last three guys do a podcast discussing the NBA offseason as we move along here today talking about the Western Conference in particular. Of course, Leon is all in on the LA Lakers. I think I'm looking at this right now, guys. I think if anybody's going to challenge LA, I think Portland's got the best shot of doing it. If they pick up that veteran presence that, as I said earlier, that they needed. What team do you guys think is, if Leon's right and the Lakers are going to reemerge next year, which, of course, all depends upon a healthy LeBron. He's got to get 100%.
Sure.
And which, supposing that, which team do you think will give the Lakers the best run for their money? I'm going to go with Portland. What about you two?
I like the Portland pick, but I'm going to go with Denver, too, because I think that young core over there with the Joker and Jamal Murray and it was somebody who did not play, who didn't even play this year, who Denver had, and we didn't even see most of that. So I can't remember who it was for the life of me. It might have been Michael Porter Jr., if I'm not mistaken. But when you have guys like that in that league, I think Denver, because now it's about to be a young Western Conference, and now we're about to see some running out there. The Thunder should be there, right?
Yeah, they're going to be there.
Yeah, they should be there. They should be in the running. But I'm going to go with Denver. I'm going to say Denver. I think Denver will be back.
What about you, Leon?
To give him a run.
So you got Djokovic. Djokovic is going to be the reason why we should be why the Lakers should be on the looking east to New York and grabbing DeAndre Jordan.
Okay.
Just to balance, because you're right, that Djokovic is going to be a problem, especially in the playoffs. Man. So we're going to need someone like DeAndre Jordan to keep him off the boards and then just stay on him.
Right.
And if I'm in which I'm going to say this too, you know, so I'm going with Denver. I'm going to say this as well, too. The Lakers should be looking at DeAndre Jordan, because if you're DeAndre Jordan, right, when were you most effective? It's not when you were in Dallas.
No.
No.
It's when you were with the Clippers playing next to Blake Griffin, right? Who is the only big man in the league right now, offhand, because I'm pretty sure it probably is another one, but who's a big man in the league that's better than Blake Griffin?
A better, what, power forward?
I mean, period.
To me, Giannis, Greek Freak. To me,
That's an option.
The Greek Freak needs some people to spell him, or not spell him, people to support him.
Yeah.
Or to try to spell him. Actually, I don't mean spell as in actually spell his name, because I don't think anybody can do that. I mean support him. You know, as we were talking about on the wings, when, because you know everyone's going to converge on him. They're going to play hack a Greek.
Right.
And then you need someone to just, as we said, take the pressure off, because you need someone who, if you go after that, is going to make you pay.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I think OKC is kind of in the same ballpark with this.
Yeah.
Because Russell Westbrook, when he gets into the playoffs, his mind switches into another gear that it doesn't need to switch into.
Right. Yeah. It wonders. It wonders
panicking.
Off.
Start panicking a little bit. But who's a big man in the league who's better than Giannis? Antetokounmpo. Who's better than him? Who's better than Blake Griffin? Who's better than Giannis?
Well, will Zion be that guy?
No, not yet. He's only 6'7" anyway. I don't think he's going to be there yet. It's going to take a couple years. But who's better than Giannis? Who's better than Blake? Oh, it's in your face, too.
No, Anthony Davis.
Bingo.
Yeah, Anthony Davis.
Bingo.
One of those things that's so obvious that can't be right.
Yeah.
So if you're DeAndre Jordan, you had your best years when you were playing against a – score first, power four.
Mm-hmm.
Which Anthony Davis can also play defense.
Right.
So, therefore, if I'm DeAndre Jordan, I'm like, man, why am I not on the phone with the Lakers?
Yeah.
And like, you could pair me up with someone who is just as good, if not better, than Blake Griffin. I still say he's better than Blake Griffin.
Okay.
And boom. You have a rim protector, a rebounder. He's not too – he doesn't –
So,
not,
do you put Jordan at the – and look what comes
and
on.
The commercial where Clutch is destroying Chris Paul's place.
What a cliche, huh?
Apologize for this, but we are kind of out of the sight of our eyes. We're watching the WNBA game that's going on right now between Connecticut and Chicago. Talk a little bit about that a little later, but again, go on with your point about AD.
So let me ask you this, Leon, with Anthony Davis and DeAndre Jordan, who plays what? Who plays the four?
Beautiful. I like, that's a good problem. I like that problem. But I'll put DeAndre, I'll put DJ at the five. I'll put AD at the four. Because AD can stretch the floor.
Yeah, that's right.
And you have two. You can also run. You know, so we can run three out, two in. Or you can run four out, one in.
You know what? That would actually be very good because you still forget that Kyle Kuzma's still there and he can play shooting guard. And that is a tall shooting guard to have. All you need is a point guard to really distribute. Like a Kemba Walker type guy. But Kemba Walker actually, to me, would be the better fit in L.A. However, I don't think Kemba Walker's coming to L.A. I think he's going to stay in Charlotte. He loves Charlotte. Yeah, so I don't think he's going anywhere.
He can stay in Charlotte because all that shooting is going to take away from Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis will be turned into Chris Bosh.
But I think Kemba Walker only has to shoot because he's the best player on that team.
Yeah.
And he's the best scorer on that team.
Right.
On that Charlotte team. So if he does that and he comes into L.A., then he'll turn into something that he wants to be, and that's a facilitator.
Yeah, he will have to become that.
Yeah.
Because he goes off and starts shooting the ball too much, then I'm pretty sure Big Bron and David like, excuse me.
But then Bronny would probably like that too.
Yeah, he's going to want, you know, LeBron.
LeBron is 30, what, 4?
34, yeah. Approaching year 17.
Yeah.
He's an old 34.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got a lot of mileage.
Yeah.
So, you know, so I look at, like, you know, people are favoring LeBron to come to MVP this year.
Yeah.
They say he's going to come out like he has an 8 in 3 days. You know, so we're looking, you know, but I'm looking, I just need someone that doesn't cost that much to get the ball past half court and pass it to AD or LeBron or Kyle Kuzma, who I like the fact that he averaged 18 points last year, because that means he can average more than that this year.
Yeah,
potentially.
That's right.
So, you know, we need that. Like, so I need us to be larger than the Heat. We could be larger than I want us to be larger than the Heat, and I want us to be hungry like Boston was back in the day. And I need us to win like the Lakers used to.
Right.
That's what I need, you know. I believe it can really, you know, something can really happen. We got J.J. Redick is out there. You know, he can't play defense worth the heckery, but he's a sniper. You know, we still have Tobias Harris out there who, you know, we'll
see. Tobias Harris is out there, yeah.
Yeah. Right. We'll see if he wants to leave Philadelphia to come to L.A. You know, he was there before. You like the weather.
Jimmy Butler's out there, but.
I don't want to need Jimmy Butler. We already have
don't need Jimmy Butler.
You don't need him.
We got Kyle Kuzma.
He can stay in Philadelphia.
Yeah. Or if Kuzma was part of that deal, then I would say you definitely go after Jimmy Butler. But he wasn't a part of that deal.
But they're talking about Jimmy Butler is on the phone with Houston. They just
really?
Need to, yeah, they just need to remove. They're trying to figure a way out because I don't see how Houston's going to do it, but stranger things have happened. How would they go off and get Chris Paul up out of there?
And we're going to put you take that second aside, Leon, because jumping in on this, wanting to talk to us about all the situation with the NBA draft is the hardest working man in Atlanta sports media, Sam Crenshaw, joining us now here on the Last Three Guys Do a Podcast. Sam, how are you?
Doing great, man. Doing great. How's everything?
We're doing great, Sam. We're doing great. We're talking about the NBA draft. You were at the Atlanta Hawks draft draft central, I guess, right?
I stopped by the draft party for a little while and just, you know, just some of the atmosphere there. It was simply amazing, simply amazing.
So what do you think of them drafting the haul they got? DeAndre Hunter, Cam Reddish, two really good pieces of that puzzle.
Yeah, you got a great defender. You got Cam Reddish. The guy I keep hearing about is Bruno Fernando. I keep hearing that that's the guy, you know, you always hear about the player to be named later.
Right.
The guy comes in at the back end of the deal because he was a second rounder. This guy's 6'10", and a lot of people say this guy may be a sleeper. And it really would serve a need for this team to have someone to play the five to keep John Collins freed up to play that power forward spot. If that's something he can do, I mean, sure, he's going to probably need some work to get in, but some people think he may be another steal for this team defensively. So, I mean, I think this is a great draft. Matter of fact, on my radio show this morning, I threw something out there. Do you want this team to compete for the playoffs now, or do you want them to have another year of the ping pong balls? And unanimously, everybody wants to win now.
Of
win
course.
Now, don't play ping pong balls. Well, but I just think, you know, the ping pong balls probably be more realistic for this team right now. I'm not crazy about getting the 8th spot and going in playing Toronto or Milwaukee and getting swept for the first round. I want us to be good enough to get a 4th spot. I mean, that's just what I want. And I think you know, after next season, you get ping pong balls, and then you got the money to bring in some folks, and now we're going to have a team that be one of the top four teams in the East. That's just the way I feel about it. But, you know, some people want to win now, you know, want to win 48 games, want to win 50 games and get the 8 or 7 seed. And, I get that. But I think the way this team is being built, it's being built long term. And I think what happens next season is the thing that's going to really attract the attention of those players that you really want to come and look at Atlanta finally as a place where they want to come to play, not just come and hang out and spend their money in the offseason.
Hey, Sam, this is Leon. It's funny how you bring Fernando up.
Yeah.
All right. So the question is, does Atlanta bring does leave him in the farm league, like send him down to the D or the G League for a little while, or do you actually bring him in and amalgamate him into the offense?
Well, that's the thing. You're gonna bring him along slowly, and it depends on what else they pick up in free agency. Right now, they got Lynn is the only real five they have on their roster right now. We'll see what they can acquire, you know, after the 30th, to come in as for some experienced veterans to come in and fill in the blank while these young players mature, who will match up good with them. I'm hoping one of those veterans they call back again is a guy who wants to play another season in the NBA is Vince Carter.
Well, he said he's coming back next year.
Yeah, he said he's coming back to play. You know, we'll see whether or not he gets to play here. And that's the thing I want. I like to see him play here again and have another year of experience with these young players. I think having somebody like that who's been in the league that long, and he's not just on the bench and playing 5-6 minutes a game. He's out there at the end of games, you know, playing. I mean, just running just as hard as the young guys on the team. They learn so much from that example. They really do. So I like that. But I think, you know, Bruno, maybe he comes in and maybe he does, play down at College Park. You know, maybe he does play down there for a while and he's kind of doing like the Braves are doing some players, you know, go back and forth on 285.
Right.
We can work that a little bit for basketball.
Yeah, we got the same corridor going down 75.
Absolutely. So I wouldn't have a problem with that. He gets to come up, spend some time, you know, with the NBA team, go back there and really sharpen and refine what he's learned when he comes up. And in the second half of the season, let's really see what we have. So, I mean, I the whole thing is patience. And I know that's a word that people don't like because they feel like, well, you want to tank. Well, I don't think we tanked. We didn't tank last year.
No.
Well, you know, this team played as well as it could with the amount of talent that it had. I don't think they went out and did like we saw the Sixers do for years. Just go out and just don't care if you win games or not. And I think we're ready for another season for this team. So I think it was great. I think the whole offseason got off to a great start, and that's what I was looking forward to. Usually I'm a games person.
Right.
But I couldn't wait for the finals to end. Play this last game, get it over with whoever wins it, get it out of the way. I'm ready to see these players zoom back and forth across the country.
Oh yeah,
to join these teams, you know. So
the recruiting.
Absolutely. The game within the game has been a lot of fun to watch.
Talking with Sam Crenshaw here on the last three guys to do a podcast. Sam, you mentioned that tempering expectations is probably going to be the two words that we are going to need to describe this Atlanta Hawks team here in this upcoming season. Ideally, you mentioned that fans want the team to win 48, win 50. What is the target win total that you are personally looking at?
Well, you want to see it increase, and I like to see it be in the, if they can, you know, be in the 40s, maybe the low 40s, 42, 43, that's progress. A lot of it depends on the rest of the East, and that's the thing, I guess, that gets some people excited. We don't know who comes back to Toronto. When I say we don't know, of course, I mean Kawhi. That makes a difference in where that team stands in the East. We know Milwaukee's not going to change. You got to deal with them. Mm-hmm. To me, they're the factor that's out there. You know, Philadelphia, they get their heads on straight. They teach the point guard to hit a jump shot. Maybe they're there too. Boston, we don't know about them. I mean, you know, Kyrie walks out. Al Horford wants out. What happens with that team? You know, and so that's the thing. And as far as the East goes, Miami, maybe they come a little progress some. Indiana, obviously, with Oladipo, they get him back healthy. They're a factor as well in the East, but other than that, that's kind of it,
right. You
know? So maybe we are looking at a team that right now, even on paper, is the 8th best team in the East already. Right. You know, we don't know. So, I mean, that's the thing. A lot depends on who comes back. You know, the Knicks, this whole thing was hinging on, to me, you know, Kevin Durant being healthy. And, you know, Bolton, Golden State, after winning a third championship and then going to the Knicks, that didn't happen. And so it's we're just feeling the after effects of that with where who goes where Kyrie Irving ends up. That's another thing. Does he go to the Nets? Kyrie Irving to the Nets? Yeah, really?
Sounds disgusting.
Well, Sam, we were kind of breaking this down before you called, and our opinion on Milwaukee is that the Greek Freak cannot do it himself. It seems like that the teams, Toronto in particular, just kind of doubled down on him, and none of the supporting players stepped up and helped. And really, Milwaukee's going to need something, more dependable presence around him in order to maybe take that next step.
You know what? That's possible, but you also, I think when we say that, we don't give full credit to Toronto and the kind of defense that they play. Does who else has the kind of personnel to play defense the way Toronto did? And I mean, that's kind of basically the way they won it all, was having the defense. They flipped and changed their defense on Milwaukee, and they did the same thing with Golden State. I mean, they're that type of team that can play a tenacious defense. And it's not just your starting five, it's guys coming off the bench. Everybody does things for them. And that's why if Kawhi returns, that changes the complexion of the East if he stays there. You know, everybody says, will he go to L.A.? Everybody wants him with the Lakers or want to look with the Clippers. But tell me something, you're going to get paid wherever you're at.
Right.
You're going to get your money. You're never going to pay for a steak dinner for the rest of your life. The tailor down here says, come on down here, man. I'm going to spit you out for 6 or 7 suits. You ain't going to pay for nothing in Toronto the rest of your life. I don't know. What would it be worth to you?
Yeah, Sam, but I'm looking like this. I believe the Atlanta Hawks, and I'm a Laker fan, but, you know, I live in Atlanta, so, you know. All right. I believe the Atlanta Hawks, if Atlanta Hawks play their cards right, and I know I'm going on a limb by saying this, but by 2021 – could be possibly competing for an NBA championship. And I'm this is going on a limb, but you got to think about it. With the you know, nice, solid young core, right?
Right.
And we go off and say the Atlanta Hawks go off and have a great season this year. We're talking about they go to the playoff and make a little noise. And in most likelihood, they'll give John Collins an extension in 2020. Am I correct?
All right. Good.
So, therefore, in the free agent class of 2020, we'll showcase names like Draymond Green, Andre Drummond, and DeMar DeRozan. If the Atlanta Hawks, who are both potentially, you know, we don't know what type of season or where Draymond Finn's going to be at with the Warriors at the next season. And we don't know, and it really depends upon what the Pistons do next year, if Andre Drummond wants to say, because I've never really seen Andre Drummond even play before, believe it or not. I mean, he's going to want some exposure, you know, and Detroit has been nothing. I mean, the big D, that's Dallas, but the D in Detroit has been short for disappointment.
Yes.
Let's just be honest.
And that's across the Detroit sporting landscape.
Man. So then, and then you have DeMar DeRozan, who are all of the depending on how San Antonio, I'm pretty sure he has a bad taste in his mouth about even winding up in San Antonio, especially them losing to Denver last year. You know, I could see him going back to the East and wanting to get a little bit of get back against Toronto, and especially with a good core of young guys.
Yeah.
I mean, we could look at by 2022, the Hawks can be among the top teams in the league contender for NBA title. Let's be honest. And I mean, the Hawks could even possibly surpass the Joe Johnson, Josh Smith era.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's they're gonna. I think what's happening now is gonna surpass that because of the way it's being done, and who it's going to be able to attract. I think even with that incarnation, the team with Kyle Korver and Horford, I think it still lacked that certain player that was going to put you over the top, and it was hard to, and it didn't attract. You know, that player, you know, even you know, with Paul Millsap, you had a strong group there. And they didn't get, you know, that they were missing that one element. And every time they run up against Cleveland in a playoff situation, you know, it was just as head and shoulders, no answers for them. Even the year when they had finished as the number one seed, you know, in the East, I think everybody knew what was going to happen once you got to the postseason. that's why you do want some seasoning for this young team to get them, get their feet wet in postseason play. You do want that. But you also want to know you're going to attract that type of player. And I think the commitment is here. I think that's been the question for years. Is the ownership and the management committed to contending for championships, or are they just satisfied with making the playoffs in Atlanta? And I think through the moves that were made, remember, we still got draft picks for next year out of this. We're stacking up. We like the New England Patriots of basketball right now. The way we're stacking up these draft picks, you know. But that's how it's done. You know, that's how it's done. And sooner or later, you become like a New England Patriots. You got guys who get loose from teams and they just want to come up and play just to be a part of what you got going on. That's what you're looking to build here. That's what you're looking to build.
And it could happen.
Exactly. You say that's the blueprint. That's how things are done. But a lot of front offices, even though it seems obvious to us on the outside, to a lot of front offices, it just doesn't seem like that. They always tend to go their own way. They always tend to try and do something else, the quick fix, as opposed to building for the long haul. And it's like what the Braves are doing, building up all this young talent, getting them involved, getting them acclimated to where you want to go. And then when they start to do well, let them just kind of, I don't want to say figure it out on their own, because when you get to the playoffs and you have to perform, you really need that, I want to say steadying presence to tell you this is how you do it. We were talking a little bit earlier about Portland, how Portland got swept by Golden State, even though they had that series in their hands for most of the time, but they just couldn't close the deal. It's kind of like don't know how to win, and such a cliche, but you really need a veteran presence, and that's what Vince Carter is going to provide to show you how to win, to how to take that final step.
Yeah. You know, you're looking for that with Portland, and you know, having to play. You know, they had the great backcourt. Could the rest of the team fill in for that? It was cool to see them make it, and that's one thing I enjoyed about these playoffs. We had some new heroes. Mm-hmm. We got some new faces. I mean, LeBron James wasn't there. He didn't suck all the air out of the room as he usually does, and we got to meet some new people. You know, out in Denver, they got what a team in Denver. They're a player short. You know, you give them a player. And they're at the top of the heap in the West. I think especially if Golden State is going to be, you know, two men down recovering all this year, which it seems like that's going to be the case for them, then, you know, and the Lakers, if they get a guard, is that all they're going to need, those three guys? Can that win a championship? I mean, they'll win a lot of games. It'll probably get them to the conference finals. But I think Denver is probably a more complete team right now. You got a big guy that can do everything on the court. I mean, he sees the whole court. He sees everybody. And, you know, he can go back to the basket. He can front you up. He can hit three. I mean, they got an amazing team out there. And I really thought they would have been a better matchup for Golden State than Portland. But Portland was the team that beat them.
Sam, hey, it's Daniel. I finally joined you, man. How you doing, man? Good.
All right.
Question for you. The Kenya NBA Rookie of the Year, Trae Young, Luka Doncic, and DeAndre Ayton, they're up for it. Is Trae Young your Rookie of the Year? I think
absolutely.
He is to me.
Absolutely.
Yep.
You know, and I know people talk about the early part of the season, and maybe Doncic did do enough early in the season to get it. But to me, you talk about somebody who applied and just worked hard and showed you some toughness and, you know, worked on the things he needed to work on to get better. And clearly, by the end of the season, the way he was producing night in and night out and the things he was doing, I think people across the country saw him. And I think that's what got a lot of people really paying attention to what Atlanta did, what Trae Young did in the back half of the season. If people weren't noticing him, he got on the radar during the All-Star weekend. He and John Collins both got on the national radar during the All-Star weekend. And then they got some big wins over some teams that people figured they shouldn't have been beating. So, I mean, that's the thing that I decide on is his growth, his leadership, his toughness, and his consistency. So, I you know, to me, he gets my vote, you know, but we'll see what the people who had the vote had to say about it.
Well, Sam, I think this is probably going to be the most interesting NBA offseason in recent memory with all the cards that are in play. And it looks like I think the Hawks are just probably, if they do bring Vince Carter back, then I think they might just be looking at role players, just, you know, someone to plug in and get minutes here or there, because they got the core and it might be one of the best cores in the NBA right now. But it's just going to be so interesting to kind of watch things go. And the thing of it is, Sam, we are now at the period of time where we either have two choices, you know, talk about baseball or count down to football, and I think most of us are going to be counting down to football anyway. But yeah, the Braves are doing a real good job as well. And Sam, I really appreciate you taking time out to talk with us. We'll be certainly getting back in touch with you a little bit later when we get closer to the NFL, closer to Georgia State football, closer to high school football, because boy, I'm still looking forward to that game with Tennessee for the Panthers. Looks like I will be able to make that trip down to Neyland Stadium for that one. So I'm looking forward to that.
You ever been there before? You've been to that place?
I've been on Tennessee's campus. I've been to Thompson Bowling more times than I care to count, but I have never been in Neyland. So that's going to be a lot of fun to just see that atmosphere, because, you know, it's right on the river. You can pull your people pull their boats right up to it. So, and so much orange. It's for a Vanderbilt guy like me, it's going to be enough to give me. It's going to give me an upset stomach.
two things to get ready for. They have videos. They have a big video screen up there, and every time they put Peyton Manning shows up on it, they cheer like he's actually there.
Well, you know, some of them still think it's 1998. You know,
they cheer like he's actually every time they put his picture up there. You know, and then of course they play Rocky Top so much the song gets embedded in your brain.
Oh gosh,
and you hear it. You're hearing it 3 or 4 days after you leave the place.
Well,
so
the problem is in my day job, my guy who shares a cubicle with me, his phone is set to Rocky Top.
Loudly.
And I want to complain to HR, like, do I have cause to throw this phone out the window? I mean,
exactly. Because if I had a Florida guy near me, I'd say the same thing.
Exactly. Oh, man. But I haven't lost my job yet over it, and I don't think that's going to – I don't think that's something, you know, that's worth it. So, and the funny thing is he's not even a Tennessee fan. He just likes the song, and I think that makes it much worse.
Oh, gosh, yeah, really?
He's from Fresno State for crying out loud, and it's like, ugh.
That sounds so unnecessary.
It is.
Come on, dude.
I know.
Wow.
Yep. All right, Sam, thank you so much.
Thank you, Sam.
Appreciate you taking time out to talk with us. We appreciate it, as always. Talk to you a little later on.
All right, thanks for having me, guys.
All right, no problem. That was Sam Crenshaw calling us here on The Last Three Guys to Do a Podcast, giving his opinion on the NBA draft. And, guys, it's like he is in the studio with us. The amount of points that he covered were the same that we did. He said Lakers need a guard. Yeah. Portland needs one more. Yep. Denver is strong. Hawks have got the young core. It's like either we know what we're talking about, or he was just being incredibly nice and, you know, knew what we were just being very nice and going along with what we were talking.
What
we were saying.
That was his honest opinion. And that's what he believed. He believed, I think, exactly what we all believe, especially taking off of what we saw this season.
Right.
And like you said, the guards can really change, because nobody really expected Denver to be where they were from a year ago, right?
Right.
Nobody really expected that. So, I mean, and really with Portland going to the West Final, nobody expected that either. So, you know, it is what it is, man. Sam is just a brilliant man. And
yes, he is, because he agreed with us, so he's brilliant.
Exactly.
All right, well, we're going to wrap it up now on The Last Three Guys to Do a Podcast. We've had 3 weeks to stew over things, so let's stew away. Again, I mentioned this when we sat down here. Steve Spurrier is getting into the restaurant business, as Mr. Spurrier is now opening up his own eatery in the Orlando Jacksonville area. Not sure what it's going to be called, or not sure what menu items he's going to be producing. I guarantee you he's going to have the "you can't spell citrus without the UT punch." Looking forward to ordering that. Other items he's going to possibly have is maybe a 6-inch grilled bulldog on a stick, possibly that, or maybe some good fried razorback, possibly a little bit of that, or maybe some Asian-infused tiger with over a bed of rice with some pineapple. That could go pretty well as that could go pretty well with whatever he wants. Unique items. I'm not sure what else he could have. Maybe some, maybe I don't know. Maybe he'll have half off hurricanes. Possibly some of that, or maybe just maybe a margarita Seminole could have one of those.
You can stop right there.
Okay, I'll stop right there.
I was waiting. I was waiting for it. Leon and I are gonna share ours.
Okay.
Because we're gonna talk about who we think would be who should win the awards here for most valuable player in the NBA and all of that good stuff. So I'm gonna run mine down. I'm gonna let Leon run his down. I think my most valuable player award will go to the Greek Freak. I think Antetokounmpo will get it. Yeah, he was the best player on the best team in the regular season. Let's remind everybody of that. I think he'll outbeat Harden and George for that one. The Rookie of the Year is going to be tough, but I agree with Sam Crenshaw when he said earlier, he said Trae Young will get the Rookie of the Year, and I think he will. I think he's well deserving of it. The Most Improved Player in the Sixth Man of the Year award is going to be extremely tough to go through. The Sixth Man Award, I think it's actually closer than what it is. Montrezl Harrell did a terrific job for the Clippers, and so did Lou Williams. So they have two Clipper players, the Sixth Man of the Year Award. And Domantas Sabonis from the Indiana Pacers was a very good choice. But I think Lou Williams is going to edge both of them out a little bit. Defensive Player of the Year, it will not go to Rudy Gobert. It will not go to Antetokounmpo. I think Paul George deserves the Defensive Player of the Year Award. And not just because he's not going to win the MVP award, but just because I thought he was the best defender this year on ball. I don't think anybody could touch him. The Most Improved Player award is tough, but, man, I think Pascal Siakam came on in the playoffs and not really in the regular season. So I would give it to D'Angelo Russell over De'Aaron Fox and Siakam. My Coach of the Year, all three of these guys are well-deserving of it. But I don't think nobody ever thought that Doc Rivers would take that Clippers team to the playoffs. That after he let go of Tobias, well, he didn't let go of Tobias Harris, but after Tobias Harris was traded off to the Philadelphia 76ers, and he really had nothing but house money to play with. So those are the key awards that I am looking at. I like Doc Rivers as NBA Coach of the Year.
Right. We agree on everyone with the exception of the Defensive Player of the Year.
Okay.
Right. I'm not saying that you're right. You're wrong. I believe that Paul George pretty much will win Defense Player of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he should.
Okay.
And it has no bearings of, he's going to win anyway. But as far as Giannis winning the MVP and, all the et cetera, he'll edge out Paul George and James Harden over that one. But with Paul George, the way – Dame Dollar went off and shot him in the eye like that during the NBA Finals. He's one of the reasons. Oh, man. Disqualification, bro. That happened in front of everybody. We all seen that, man.
So Rudy Gobert's going to get it.
Yeah, just because that happened. And then during the press conference, he's going to say, oh, it was a bad shot. I could live with that. No, man. It should have been on him a little more. All up in it. Oh, my God. That was horrible. I'm talking about that, man. And then he just waved him bye-bye afterwards. Terrible. So that's the only – other than that, he played solid defense during the year.
Yeah.
Excellent on-ball defender, especially being 6'8", able to defend point guards. You know, the fact is that they had him on Dame instead of Westbrook is very telling. You know, I thought Westbrook should have been guarding him. Evidently, he should have been guarding him. But, man, that was just embarrassing, though, the way he just shot. I mean, he got from, like, 40.
Did Westbrook foul out?
No, he didn't foul out. He just wasn't guarding him.
He fouled out of one of them games. I know he did.
Yeah, but when the money was on the line, though, they had Paul George on Dame Lillard, and Dame just did him. I mean, cooked him extra crispy. So that's my only objection to that. Other than that, we're in full agreement on that one. So
that was the only one.
Yeah, that's my only thing.
Seriously, who do you pick as a defensive player?
He's going to win. I think Paul George is excellent on ball defender. You know, he's a great two-way player. He should win that.
But you wouldn't give it to him.
Nah, that was just, oh, man. And this one, because, usually, like, comes to the MVPs, you know, most MVPs make it to the playoffs,
mm-hmm. right?
And I think it's a reason why the MVP, you know, I people don't say it,
mm-hmm.
but I think your playoff performance is kind of like, you know, does hold some weight on.
Well, it should in the future.
Yeah.
I believe, because if that's the case, and I know we got to wrap this show up, but if that's the case, Pascal Siakam will be my most improved player.
And I think that should hold a little – the playoffs should hold a little weight on that,
because,
mm-hmm. I mean –
because they do the voting after the playoffs.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
And
yeah.
they both – him and D'Angelo Russell, which D'Angelo Russell's stock went up, which, it, you know, we should discuss this during the show, but why is Brooklyn going for Kyrie Irving if you have D'Angelo Russell?
And before we go, guys, breaking news.
Uh-oh.
Kawhi Leonard is declining his $21.3 million player option to become an unrestricted free agent. However, he is seriously considering re-signing with the Raptors. And this is a report from Chris Haynes.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy. So that's going to really shake things up.
Here
we'll
comes the drama.
Here comes the drama.
Oh, yeah. Just end our show with.
Exactly. So we'll be sure to talk about that all next week, as well as opposed to every other piece of drama that's going on, because again, this pressure cooker, it's just getting started. It's just getting warmed up. NBA Summer League is going to start in a couple weeks from Las Vegas, and we'll be sure to have all of that as well, covering that in depth as we talk about what's going on here in the offseason. As I mentioned to Sam Crenshaw, we've got two choices. We can talk about baseball or we can talk about football. We're going to probably talk about a lot of football over the next couple weeks. So as we count down for that, I'm John Morgo for Leon Brown and Daniel Bolton. This has been the Last Three Guys to Do a Podcast. We'll be coming at you next week with Leon will be not in studio. We hope to have a special guest substitute. Either maybe we get Wade Marvall or Tom Whitfield to call in, and hopefully we'll be able to have an exciting guest as well. So you're going to want to do that. You're going to want to tune in for that. Call a friend, call an enemy, tell anyone you know about the Last Three Guys to Do a Podcast. Sam Crenshaw agrees with us. You should too. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back with you in 7 days, and have a good day, everybody.